Hey guys, this is Nathan. I'm sitting here with Heath and Jason, and we're just going to talk about 2020, what we learned at Brewery Church this year, some of the good things that happened, some of the struggles we went through, and just kind of what it was like to experience this year. So, what do you guys think? What was it like to go through this whole COVID thing and everything else we went through this year, just as a person outside of Brewery Church first? Heath, what do you say?
Well, it took a while to get started. At the beginning of the year, we weren't even launched yet. COVID didn't hit until after my birthday in March. And, well, the lockdowns didn't hit until March. That was kind of tough for me. I was like, okay, so what are we going to do now? Are we still going to do this thing? How long is the lockdown going to last? I have no idea. That sucked. And at the same time, I was starting my gardens. And I'm like, well, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to give this away. You know, because people probably think it has COVID or something.
Well, yeah, you were growing vegetables and stuff to give away.
Yeah, I was starting all my seeds and stuff in March. Mm-hmm. So.
And Heath has a monster garden.
I have two large gardens and a monster garden. I grow monsters in it. No.
So how did you deal with the isolation?
It wasn't really any different, really. Pretty isolated as it is.
Oh, well, that's not good.
I go to work and I come home and have a beer and play video games. In midsummer, I was actually on a furlough, and so I finished college courses in that time. Mm-hmm. So that was nice.
I guess, well, you and I used to go to live music shows around town, and so did Jason. And that was something that we couldn't do anymore once everything shut down.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any live music to see, so that was kind of a bummer. Well, what about you, Jason? What was it like to adjust to the whole shutdown?
Personally, the shutdown was kind of interesting because my wife and I are both pretty introverted by nature, and it didn't really make that much of a difference to us, in all honesty. Working from home was really nice, and it was not good for the world, but it wasn't a terrible thing for me personally. It was okay. The hardest part was not being able to start the Brewery Church on time, and it was a real roller coaster up and down. Yes, we're going to go. No, we're not. Yes, we are. No, we're not. And we were going to go right up until that day that the shutdown order came, and it was maybe a couple days before we were going to go ahead and launch anyway, and decided, nope, that's a full shutdown, so we let it go. So that was probably the hardest part of the whole shutdown thing, was not being able to get started, because we had a lot of momentum going. It seemed like there were a lot of people interested in coming the first week, and we were looking like it was pretty good, and to get hit like that was kind of the most disappointing part of the whole COVID shutdown thing for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we were scheduled to launch the Brewery Church on March 23rd. And I think two or three days before that, the shutdown was announced. So that meant that we would not be able to launch. And that was difficult because we had, 380 people click the interested button on our Facebook event. So we had no idea how many people were going to show up or things like that. But we felt like people were kind of interested in what we were going to do. And we'd been planning it for, 9 months, a year or something like that? So then all of a sudden, we had to postpone it. And we didn't really know at first how long we were going to have to postpone it, because you didn't know how long the shutdown was going to go on. And we didn't know how bad things were going to get with COVID and things like that. And then finally, we ended up launching in July. So that was interesting.
Weren't we originally going to do it in like May? First it was March, but then we were like, oh, let's after the lockdown, we'll think it'll be over by May. And then we're like, just in case it's not over in May, let's move it forward 2 months.
Yes, yes. So it was weird because it felt like you're running a race and the finish line keeps moving, because there were all kinds of theories going around that seemed to make sense. Like, well, when summer gets here, the weather will be warmer, and kind of like the flu, people will stop getting COVID. So we kind of wondered, and then it got warm and that didn't happen. COVID continued and it got worse. And then it got better for a while. And then we launched. And then it got worse. And then we were kind of like, do we need to close? And we thought about it. And we ended up just spreading the tables out and pushing some tables together to make more space for social distancing and stuff. And, you know, shortly after that, we ended up with a pretty good little core. It was just really weird because every month or two, we were thinking, are we going to be able to keep going? And just not knowing. But I think, I mean, at least I'm feeling pretty good about where things are at the end of the year. We're small, but we're really enjoying our Monday night meetings and stuff. What about you guys?
I feel like we are small and we are doing okay. We've got a little group going, but you know, when COVID loosens up, I think we still have the opportunity to open that up a little bit, have a little bit more in the way of community building activities and so on and so forth. So there's still some things to look forward to. And I think that we'll kind of get a little bit larger when people start being more comfortable going out again. So I think we're about as good as we could have possibly hoped for at this time with the uncertainty in the world. I think we've done well and it's been a pretty good start. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you always told me when we started that small is okay. Small's good. If we have, you know, 4 or 5 people to talk to, then hey, you know, there's opportunity there to have, start some friendships and things like that.
Yeah, it's not something that we should be disappointed in. To have only a few is not something that's should be looked at as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Just getting some people in is a accomplishment.
Well, being a small group isn't a bad thing either, because like what we wanted the focus of this thing to be is relationships and having quality discussion together rather than having a lot of people or something. So what you said has kind of stuck with me and kind of helped me through. Sometimes we've had, you know, 15 people, sometimes we've had 7 or 8. And on those smaller nights, I think maybe what you said kind of helped me focus on the relationships, and you can have deeper conversation with fewer people. So it's still been pretty meaningful for us.
One of the good things I found, you know, this year, there's not a lot of groupthink, you know, going on in the group. Usually the people I'm around kind of think like I do. Well, it was quite an adjustment being around people that think differently than I do, and that's okay. I like the fact that it's okay, because sometimes if you're in a group and they don't think like you, you get outcast for being wrong or whatever. That was kind of, you know, good for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably good for others too.
Yeah, one of our goals has been to make this group something that anybody can go to, regardless of where they're at in their faith and whether or not they believe the same things as us. Basically, we just want to have good conversations about faith. And, you know, there's some really tough passages in the Bible, and there's a lot of stuff to, you know, have questions about. And we really just want opportunity to talk about those things together. So it's hard to explain that to people, because I can't really think of another group that exists that is kind of like what we're trying to do. Maybe Theology on Tap or something. Yeah, going into an established group is kind of scary, but we're trying to learn to get everybody comfortable just saying what's on their mind on whatever the topic is.
In this last week, you know, I had kind of asked the folks at my table, why have you returned coming? Why do you keep coming back? And one person's response was, I don't know. I don't know why I keep coming back, but I do. And that's a viable reason to me. I mean, as long as that person keeps coming back and is finding value in our discussion, then that's good. And so there's no wrong answer there, I guess.
I like to focus a lot on the why. Like, whatever we believe, why do we believe that? Is there anything evidential behind it? Because it's easy to say just have faith, but I always think God gives us more than that. God proves himself or gives us reasons to trust him. And I think that gets forgotten sometimes. So I like to talk through, why is it logical to believe Jesus came back from the dead? Like, is there actually a solid case there that's not just a blind faith answer? And so when you ask that question, why do you like this group? A couple people said it was because we talk about why do we believe what we believe? And that was just kind of a different perspective for them.
Mm-hmm. One guy in particular in the group, I get a lot of value out of the things that he asks, because he'll really make you hone in on the why you believe what you do. And you'll leave, you know, either with a new viewpoint, you know, based on new evidence, or you're going to be stronger in, you know, what your faith is. And that's really important.
Yeah. So I'll share one of the big benefits for me personally from going to Brewery Church is that there have been some perspectives that have been shared that are quite different from what we think, and things that we'd never heard before about the Old Testament or things like that. So we go home and we look that stuff up, and the three of us will be talking about it. I think just in the past 3 months, I've started to feel like I'm growing more than I have in quite some time. But I'm growing because, you know, a guy who's a Jew or someone who's an atheist or someone who's agnostic are sharing their perspectives, and we're then looking stuff up and talking to them. So it's weird. Like, you would think that you would grow from talking to someone who's ahead of you in your own view, but really, talking to these different perspectives has driven us back to study scripture. And I feel like that has accelerated my own faith so much. Isn't that weird? It sounds like it would be counterproductive, but it's not.
I don't think in the modern Christian church that we've ever really thought that through or explored that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's common knowledge. I guess it was a surprise to everyone that that's the case, because it's not something we've ever really tried before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really something that's encouraged in the current Christian church, in my viewpoint. Yeah, actually talking to different viewpoints has been just a completely different way of thinking for all of us, I think.
Well, that's kind of what earlier I was saying. When people come into the group, I'm not sure they quite know what to expect at first, because we are technically a Christian church, and I teach the Christian view in the topic introduction. But we actually want different people from different views and different religions there. And like, we actually want to hear from them and things like that. So we want to have a 50-50 dialogue with them and not just tell them, you need to think this or something, you know? Like, we really do want to discuss the material, but with those different perspectives being comfortable. And I think that that's just a conundrum for some people. That's not normal, is what they say.
We don't even have to talk 50% of the time. It doesn't need to be 50-50. It can be, you know, 70-30, mm-hmm. 70 them talking and 30 us talking. We just have to get little nuggets in here and there. And that's really all that we need to accomplish
mm-hmm.
to start planting seeds, as the traditional Christian verbiage is. But let them talk it out themselves has been pretty valuable.
Yeah, people seem to grow when they feel like they're discovering it themselves. And I'm not really scared off by different views, because our philosophy has just kind of been like, okay, well, let's all go home and like check out the scripture and things like that. And we kind of put it on ourselves to do our own self-discovery.
One of the things that's kind of really cool, and this is when, you know, Brewery Church started happening. Usually what I heard in the circles that I'm around about the other perspectives is they're wrong and this is why. And that's all I ever heard. And then I'm talking to these people that are actually from that perspective, and they say why they believe what they do. And I'm like, this is completely different than what I've been told most of the time. And I'm like, how do you reconcile this? I say that a lot. How do you reconcile this? How do you reconcile this? And, you know, someone brings up the Quran or where it's at. You go home and you look at the Quran. Well, prior to Brewery Church, when you do that, people will be like, oh, that's an evil book. You shouldn't even open it. It's like it's Pandora's box or something. I'm like, how are you going to know what it says if you don't read it? Something's really been on my mind lately.
That's interesting. Yeah, I'm not really afraid of opposing views, because I think if we're really searching for truth and really pursuing God, I think the truth will stand. I do think we might all be wrong about some things, but if we're really seeking, then if we look at all these different religions, the one that's true, I think we'll stand if we're really putting it under a magnifying glass. That's my opinion. So I guess that's why I'm not afraid to let people explore and bring up the different perspectives, because my encouragement is check it out. In The Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, when he worked at the Chicago Tribune, they had this motto, and it was, if your mom tells you she loves you, check it out. Like, don't just believe it, check it out. And so I kind of take that approach, like wherever you're at, whatever you believe, check it out. That's why we're digging into scripture so much right now, and what's kind of accelerated our growth. So I'll give an interesting example. This is like the highlight for me personally of these past few months in my own spiritual journey. The thing that sticks out to me the most about this year, something that I've learned, is just like a heightened awareness of the whole spiritual component of our religion. Because I think growing up in America, and I'm really interested in science, but we all think more on a scientific and logical basis, or maybe what we can see in front of us. We're less aware that there's actually this spiritual battle going on in the background that affects our world. We don't think about that because it seems kind of nuts. But other countries are more aware and in tune with things like that. So this guy who comes to our brewery church, he's a Jewish rabbi. He knows the Bible way better than, you know, I will know anytime in the near future, because he's basically got it memorized in its original language, and he knows what all these words mean in Greek and Hebrew. So he's frequently sharing his perspective on it, and sometimes we agree, and sometimes we disagree, but it's just really interesting to hear his perspective. This guy from another religion has transformed the way the three of us see scripture and has had a huge impact on us. For instance, he is often telling us that, you know, a lot's been lost in translation of the Bible, and he'll point to certain things. And at first, we weren't real sure about it. Again, still, we don't always agree. We don't always have the same perspective. But in some areas, he was right. So one thing that he told us this year was that, I remember he said, there are many gods. And that kind of freaked us out a little bit at first. But what he was saying was, there are many gods like little g, and there's one god, you know, capital G. He was saying there's many gods in the Bible, and that they're real spirits. Well, if we read the Old Testament, we know there's all kinds of pagan gods, like the Israelites were worshiping and things like that. They kept getting in trouble for that. Well, what I thought, and what I think Jason thought too before this conversation with this guy, we thought the Israelites made up those gods. We didn't think that they were real, but now I think they're spirits. So, you know, another spirit might want to be seen as God, but they're not. Do you want to comment on your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would say like those pagan gods, I never thought them as being real. I thought that, you know, they were just worshiping the sun or whatever it is that they might have been. The Bible talks a lot about Baal, and I never thought of Baal as being an actual being. But then you read the accounts in the Bible of basically the Israelite leadership taking on Baal, and they were pretty much acknowledging that he was a real god, or a little g, as you would say, but he was pretty pointless and pretty ineffective against the real God, because the real God created that spirit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was something that was totally new, was actually thinking of them as actual true beings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I guess if real things weren't happening and real stuff didn't happen, that people wouldn't worship those gods, and they wouldn't talk to those gods if something really wouldn't happen,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, think about our previous perspective. Both of us were like, why would somebody make up a god to worship? Like, that sounds ridiculous. Well, it actually makes more sense if they are spirits. And we know that God created other spirits, because when there's angels, demons, right? But there's also these other verses that I couldn't figure out in scripture. Like, there's one place where God sends an evil spirit to torment Saul. And I just never connected that something like this might be going on there. Or God had a spirit go harass Ahab and coax him into going to battle so he'd be killed because he was evil. So there's all these verses about God working with other spirits. I just didn't know how to reconcile. But it clearly he is working with other spirits at certain points. And what this Jewish rabbi told us was that in the Old Testament, the people viewed these spirits as gods, like little g. They're not on Yahweh's level. They're created by him. They're below him. But they are spirits who God allows to do things. So fast forward, looking at the Psalms, do you remember what the big psalm he points out is? The 82. It's real short. I don't
remember which exact one it was.
There's a whole bunch of Psalms and places where the Bible's talking about these spirits. Well, remember how we had these discussions about there being some translation issues? Well, there's places in the Psalms where it says pestilence, disease, death, things like that. Well, I discovered we tracked down a podcast to try to sort this out. Naked Bible Podcast by Michael Heiser, and he has a supernatural seminar on YouTube. They're amazing. Well, what I found out was some of those words like pestilence in the Bible, in the original language, it doesn't say pestilence and death and disease. It says the name of a pagan god. Mm-hmm. And it basically says, these gods are doing things, but they can't lift a finger unless Yahweh allows it, because he has total power over them. Sometimes he allows them to do things, but these pagan gods exist as spirits, and Yahweh is above them. That totally blew my mind. Well, some of these spirits, they have wronged humans. Like they're, you know, they're messing with us right now. There's spiritual warfare going on. And what happened in the New Testament during this event called the Transfiguration, Jesus goes up this mountain with some of the disciples, and they see him like basically transform. And it says angels are ministering to him. So I always looked at that as just a sign that Jesus is God, right? Well, I think it's actually more than that. Because according to Michael Heiser, he says that Jesus actually went to that location because that was where people worshiped, was it Zeus and some of these other like Greek gods and things like that. I looked at the geography, and that whole area is associated with altars to these pagan gods. And that location was known as the gateway to hell. The reason is because of all the worship of these other gods and things. So Jesus goes there, and according to Michael Heiser, basically declares war on these evil spirits because he's about to go to the cross and die and come back, you know, conquer death. So now I look at it like, wow, there's all this spiritual warfare going on, and there's all kinds of injustice and depression and anxiety and stuff that we're dealing with that we just wish we could defeat, and we can't. Well, what Jesus was doing there, he was both doing something in the physical world and in the spiritual world and defeating these gods that we can't do anything about, which I think is awesome, but it just brings a whole new dimension to our faith and how I read the Bible, because now all those verses, they make a lot more sense. Do you guys want to comment on that, or something that you learned at Brewery Church that just like changed everything the way you see scripture?
I would say that along the lines of what you're talking about, a lot of the spiritual warfare and that kind of thing that you just highlighted, a lot of that was very large in what I learned this year as well. You know, it's kind of funny, was when someone challenges something that you've known your entire life, you might get a little scared for a minute and really have to actually dive into what you believe to make sure that that is what you believe and why you believe it. And I had to dive into those things, and I had to learn why I believe what I believe. And that was pretty challenging this year, and is frustrating. And not every Monday that I leave happy and peaches and cream every Monday night. It's not that. I come away challenged and frustrated, and you know, we come out at the other side, and we try and have to ask ourselves, are we accomplishing our goal? And what is our goal? And why are we doing what we're doing? And I think that that's a big part of the answer, is we're growing ourselves, but we're becoming equipped to work with anybody who else who can come through our doors.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we're growing as a group. The process of growing in our faith is like a group endeavor. That's what I feel. Whereas previously, it's felt like an individual thing to me. So when the rabbi told us that stuff about those translation issues, Jason dug the podcast up and he showed it to me. And so like it was like three people involved in this. And then I showed it to Heath. Then I sent it to some other people. I wasn't sure, like when we first heard some of this stuff about like other gods, I thought that sounded like some other religions. And I almost didn't go down that path to look the stuff up. But I don't think looking at scripture can hurt you. So
that was my very first thought about that podcast. I'm like, what is this going to be? It's like judging a book by its cover. Mm-hmm.
I told you it was going to sound crazy at first, right?
Yeah, the Elohim episode with the council.
Elohim, yeah. Yeah, so
it's like God works with this instead of just dictating. He works alongside us. Like that was cool.
Yeah, we're working with spirits. Why do that, you know? But I went into my pastor's office at Asbury Church, and I asked him some questions about it. And he said, well, I don't know, but I've got this book here on the Psalms. He knows the Psalms better than anyone. So take this book and go look it up. So I read that, and it was a word study on the Psalms in its original language, and it confirmed the exact same thing. So I thought, I'm not crazy. Like, I'm not believing something that is not Christianity. I'm not going down some crazy path. It's just something that maybe in America it floats under our radar, or some of it really was lost in translation, but you can still find it. There was enough verses there in English to show it to us, but it just right under my radar.
But it is a little bit scary for the average American Christian to hear about God convening with a council of gods. What?
Yeah. And I still don't totally understand all of it, but it is all over the Old Testament. It's interesting. So yes, if you want to know about that, what was that supernatural seminar called by Michael Heiser? Was it just called Supernatural Seminar on YouTube?
Something to that effect.
By Michael Heiser.
Yeah, by Dr. Michael Heiser.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his podcast is called The Naked Bible Podcast.
He gets very, very, very technical in his podcast, and it can get very dry very quick. You have to go into it with the right mindset. Mm-hmm.
And I found that some episodes are more dry than others because some are mind-blowing, and then some, like the scholarly level is something that I'd never been exposed to before. It's just a level of thinking that is just far beyond the way the average person or average Christian thinks about the Bible. It's very, very nitty-gritty and detailed. And I realized, you know, a lot of the stuff about like the doctrine of the church, it's decided by scholars, and we actually don't know the material well enough to really know. Like, that is what I discovered when getting into the scholarly level. Like, it scared me. Like, whoa, man, we don't know some of this stuff. But it's okay. It's a lifetime journey, you know? But I'd say just check stuff out and double check stuff out to make sure you don't go down some like wild path. But I think that you can explore without, you know, having to be scared of that.
Mm-hmm. And it's okay to disagree with others. That's another thing I've learned. I even disagree with Heiser. I'm probably wrong, but you know, at least give it a listen. You can decide whether to believe it or not instead of just ignoring it, just on the safe side that you might lose your faith. I did that for a long time.
Well, none of us have gone backwards in our faith.
Oh, I'm not going to even open the Quran because, you know, it'll convert me. And then I believe, you know, what you said earlier, if it's the truth will stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if the word was God, well, his word will stand, and it'll be subject to all kinds of scrutiny, and it has been for at least 2,000 years.
Yeah, I do want to be aware of other people's perspectives.
I think God's smart enough to know how to protect his word through the ages, especially to us feeble minds.
Well, the thing is, like, how are we going to talk to a Muslim if we know nothing about the Quran? That's the thing. I want to know their perspective so I can have a connection with them, like a productive conversation about faith. If I know nothing and I just try to tell them what I think, then I don't think that's going to go very far. There's not going to be a friendship there. I don't feel threatened by reading it, but you got to investigate the roots of everything and decide what do you think is God's word and what do you think isn't. And I think if you explore that, you can find answers.
It can get very complicated, but we can try and simplify it the best we can. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty interesting, you know, for as complicated as Dr. Michael Heiser is, the seminar we're in regards to is just flat out called Supernatural Seminar.
Oh, you found it on your phone.
By Dr. Michael Heiser. It's so complicated, but it's called Supernatural Seminar. That's just it.
It's kind of ironic.
I'll try to drop a link in the podcast notes. He'll walk you through it so it doesn't sound as crazy if you actually devote the time to it. So
it is about 4 hours worth of 4+ hours worth of listening to. I mean, it's not a short little thing, but it's really good.
It's worth it.
And that 4 hours, he says, is an overview. So,
well, he's got like 400 episodes on his podcast. I'm like, whoa, I'm never going to get through all these.
There's another podcast I came across called the Catholics with Bibles podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Someone I used to work with mentioned it, and I listened to it, and you know, they go through all the theology and stuff. Well, they also do like at least one Greek word, and then mm-hmm. they talk about it. I was like, this is new. Like you've, you know, probably heard Greek words in church if you've ever been to church, but they don't really dig into it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these guys discuss like different words that you don't normally hear. And I was like, that's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
Cool podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. Before we go, tell us a little bit about that book you're reading.
I am a proofreader for one of my old neighbor's brother's books. Mm-hmm. He's not published yet, but it's about, without giving too much away, it's about something that travels through time and has a lot of persecution of Jews. Mm-hmm. And it really opens you up to like why sometimes there's some hesitation there, because there's 2,000 years of Christians either burning Jews at the stake or, and it's a historical fiction. So, you know, some of this stuff might be based on something that happened, mm-hmm. but may not have happened. But it makes you think. Jews being hunted down like wild animals because, you know, they crucified Christ, and that's why they're doomed or cursed by God to live a life of, you know, lowliness. And I'm like, that is so far from, you know, what Jesus taught, because Jesus associated with the lowly. So it just points that out.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you're reading it, you're like, you read that these Jews are burned or killed in some way, or these pregnant women are stabbed 5 times. And you're like, where's the justice for these people? Well, there is no justice until the end of time when God judges the right and the wrong. And that's really tough, because I'm used to, you know, movies and comic books where there's always justice for these people. And I haven't finished it yet, so I don't know if there's justice at the end, but you're reading it and these people just die. It's upsetting.
Yeah, and it's interesting because the way you explained it to me, it was helping you understand the Jewish mindset and their experience and some of what they've just been through, right? And we've got a Jew at our group too, so like it's personally relevant to us now. Whereas we may have not rubbed shoulders with all these different views before Brewery Church, and it's just kind of really widened our perspective quite a bit.
Yep, I'm not in a battle to feel right anymore, like some of the people in this book. Some of them view Jews as like a conversion opportunity or something, and that's it.
Not a person or a potential
friend. Well, one of them
friend.
Says this Jew is set to be burned, and the Christian in the book says something like, what a waste of time and effort that we spent on this guy just to have him be burned. Yeah, right? So then there's other ones where, you know, the Templars are hunting him down. They don't even see him as a conversion opportunity. They see him as cursed by God.
Mm-hmm.
So you got those two perspectives to think about.
It's supposed to be expressing a mindset that exists, right?
Yeah, several that's mindsets interesting. Throughout 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm. Right, that's interesting.
Going all the way back to when Jesus was alive. And without giving away too much of the book, I think it's going to be good. And,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, anything else you want to share, Jason, about anything you've learned at Brewery Church or something that's just really impacted you?
No, I'm really smart. I know everything I need to know. So there's nothing that I've learned this year. No. In all seriousness, I can't think of anything, you know, super specific, but as I go back and look upon 2020, Brewery Church, personal life, COVID, all of this stuff, it's going to sound strange to hear that it's actually been a very good year for, I guess, for me personally. It's been a really good year, and as strange as that is to say, and Brewery Church has been a very big part of that. It's been a, you know, it's a good learning experience, and looking forward to continue to move forward with that.
So you're definitely not going to write 2020 come January 1st when you're writing the day.
Well, I might. It was a good year.
Oh.
I am ready to put 2020 to sleep. But I kind of get what you're saying, because like it was kind of a terrible year for me. A lot of good stuff happened, but also in the last 2 months, it's really started to trend up. And I think the same is mm-hmm. true for Brewery Church. Like we had some struggles just dealing with COVID, and we didn't want to advertise a lot because we felt like you know, we can only handle so many people and space people out. So it was hard. Like, how do we get this thing to survive, you know, COVID and all? But like at the end of the year, we've learned a lot. We've met some really cool people. We've met some friends, and we feel like we've started growing, like personally and as a group. But I would not have thought I would feel content in December of 2020, even in October, you know? Mm-hmm. So it is interesting.
It's been a refining year.
Yeah.
To put it that way.
It wasn't what we expected. Like, we didn't expect COVID and all that. We also did not expect Brewery Church to be what it is. These meetings are, they're good, but unexpected things get thrown at you that help you grow. But unexpected, but good. That's what I'll say. I feel for anybody who's dealing with COVID on a personal level or is out of work, or like, we all know somebody who's died from it at this point. I know I know a couple. I had an extended family member pass away. Actually, somebody who attends our brewery church just lost somebody to COVID. Mm-hmm. So we feel a lot of sympathy for them.
From a world perspective, it's been a terrible year.
It has. It's been awful.
It's been a terrible, terrible year from a world perspective.
I think what we're trying to describe is at the end of the year, we can finally see some glimmers that came out of this year. Even though there was a lot of bad, like, we can see God still doing stuff.
And a lot of it might be our, you know, trying to have a good perspective. I mean, I had said it was a great personal year or a good personal year, but also had a very rough personal year, you know, lost pets. There were all kinds of things that didn't go well, friendships, pets, the whole bit. So it wasn't perfect, but you got to choose to see the brighter side in things, I guess, because, you know, there's way more to life than here on earth.
It is hard to acknowledge that sometimes, especially for me. I struggle with that, but yeah, it's... it's like a muscle that I'm working on. Well, I've really appreciated you guys, you know, going on this journey with me this year. We're taking off December 28th, so that Monday there will be no meeting. But Monday, January 4th, we will start meeting every Monday again at Augustino Brewing. So
back at it.
Yeah, we're really hoping you'll join us. We're going to start talking again about Jesus in the book of Mark. It's going to be really cool. Have a happy new year, and... I don't know. Whatever you're going to do, be awesome.
Merry Christmas in 2 days.
All right. Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.